following is a production of Shark Flight Media. Shark Flight Media. Shark Flight Media.
Now entering the nexus of geekery and guy world in 3, 2, 1. Mark.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
This is the Dudes in Hyperspace Podcast.
Hey, kids, welcome back for another exciting edition of the Dudes in Hyperspace Podcast presented by Chris Kennedy Publishing. I am your host, Ian J. Malone. Going to get to my co-hosts here in a little while. That would be Kevin Steverson and Rob Howe. Before we do that, though, first got to pay some bills. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors. That would be CKP. Doesn't matter what you're into, folks. If it's military, sci-fi, space opera, fantasy, even books about the craft, if you fancy yourself a writer, they've got it all for you right there at CKP, and you can learn all about it via them interwebs things at chriskennedypublishing.com. If you want to know more about the show, that's pretty simple to find, too. Just go to sharkflight.com and click on the Dudes in Hyperspace link. Right there, you've got author bios for myself and my co-hosts. You've got sponsorship info if you're ever interested in hopping on board that. Places where you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter. You can even email the show if you want to ask a listener question. And again, that's all there at sharkflight.com. Just click on the Dudes in Hyperspace tab and away you go. Well, as we've been prefacing for some time now, folks, it is finally, after over a freaking year, Con Week. And we are excited, beyond excited, for that return. We've talked about that ad nauseum on this show, how much we miss readers, hanging out with you guys at the bar and doing all the fun things that we've come to love about going to conventions. And finally, for those of us here in North Carolina, we get to do that this week with the return of one of our favorite conventions, and that would, of course, be Fantasy, taking place this weekend, May the 21st through 23rd in Durham, North Carolina. So we didn't want to mess around. You've heard us bloviate about how excited we are for all this, but we know a lot of people have questions about what that's going to look like. Some things have happened in the news that have certainly changed the way we get to interact with the world now in the last 4 or 5 days. And there's been lots of questions about how that is going to change and affect what attendees can expect whenever they get to the convention hotel this Friday to be able to start hanging out with folks. So we figured we'd go to the mat, get ourselves an expert on that, and who better to discuss such matters than the convention chair himself. That would be none other than Fantasy co-chair Joel Lyons. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me in, and it's a pleasure to be on the show and to talk to you with about the thing I truly love, Fantasy.
Yeah, man. Well, I can only fathom that you have been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest since Friday. We're going to get to all of that, the safety and health measures, masks, distancing, all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to start with something, frankly, a little bit closer to home, and that is the origin of Fantasy. You know, there's a lot of expectation going into this con, so much so that you'd think it had been around for years, and it hasn't. This is year two. We got year one of Fantasy in 2019. People had a blast with it. We were all stoked and ready to do it in 2020, and we all know what happened with that. Now we're back in 2021, and by all rights, I mean, everyone seems to be doubly chomping at the bit for this con again this year. So talk to our listeners a little bit about what makes Fantasy Fantasy, what made it come to be, and why is it the fans have so embraced this convention as quickly as they have?
Well, I think, Ian, the biggest thing about Fantasy for me is that it has always been a convention for the fans, by the fans. My job as con chair is to facilitate the meeting of the attendees and the guests and authors such as yourself so that they can experience with each other in a relaxed environment. I've attended larger cons and things like that, and I have always felt there's so much hustle and bustle in bigger cons that you don't get to interact with the people that love to read your books and, you know, that all that thing that relax the con feel that I really love. That's the big thing for me. Now, historically wise, Fantasy is actually a daughter convention to HonorCon, which ran in the Raleigh area for a few years before it was retired officially by BU9 for multiple reasons, but I decided that it would be wrong for the local populace and the people who had come to love HonorCon to not have something like that going forward. So I pretty much took the staff from HonorCon and made it Fantasy, and that's why our slogan is always "The Tradition Lives." That's a double play on not only paying homage to HonorCon, but that is also a big, that's the term for the Royal Manticorian Navy in the Honorverse books by David Weber, and that's where we came about. I've always just, that's my biggest thing is, you know, fans love to go to conventions, and why not make it a convention for the fans?
Yeah, could not agree more, man. Well, you know, with that in mind and that established, let's go ahead and fast forward to 2021. Friday hits, the CDC announces, you know, okay, if you're fully vaxxed, you can go ahead and ditch the masks indoors and outdoors unless you're, you know, in an airport or a prison, pretty much. North Carolina quickly followed suit by Friday evening saying pretty much the same thing. A lot of businesses, though, have decided and said that we appreciate that, but right now we would prefer our customers to continue to observe these, you know, these protocols in the name of making everybody feel safe and everybody feel comfortable in our business. So, you know, I'll bring the question to you now as the con chair. What is the con hotel saying about that, and what do they want from us when we start to arrive on for some of us Thursday evening, and for everyone else, the mass public, on Friday? What are the things we're going to need? Are we going to need to bring masks? Are we going to need to stay 3 feet apart? None of that. If you're doubly vaxxed, all of it. If you're not vaxxed, what's the word on the street?
Okay, so this is I have to laugh at this entire situation, because as you rightfully know, we were gung ho to go for 2019, and then it was a week out and the rug was pulled out from under me.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I get to do it again this year. Mm-hmm. Huzzah.
Yep, I remember that. I remember thinking, I feel for Joel Lyons and his staff right now.
the easiest way to do this is, as you know, on Friday it was pretty late that we got the information. So I didn't want to jump the gun. I didn't want to make any over claims until I got the proper information, because what I've done with Fantasy this year is Fantasy only adheres to the rules that are set into place. I am not enforcing any rules as the convention itself. That's not my place. I just have to adhere to the rules as set in place by the hotel and the state of North Carolina. So I talked to the hotel today, and this is their official wording. The DoubleTree will be following the current CDC, Hilton, and American Hotel Lodging Association, where fully vaccinated individuals will not have to wear face coverings inside. The hotel has told us they are not going to be asking for proof of vaccination. It is basically the honor system. However, please understand that it will be a very good chance that a non-vaccinated person will show up this weekend with the COVID-19 symptoms that would choose not to wear a mask, putting us all at risk. We would prefer that this event go on, blah, 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 the large amount of corporate, you know. Anyway, what does that really mean for us? That's the important thing, right?
Yep.
So fully vaxxed people do not need masks, and they can't ask people if they're vaccinated or not. So if you're double vaxxed, you don't need a mask at all.
Okay.
It is an honor system. You know, we should all live by our word, you know, as a show of solidarity. I have been vaccinated since early April, but I will still wear a mask in public just as a sign of respect for people who choose to still wear masks. My big thing going forward is that I don't want mask shaming. I don't want people to make people feel bad for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. That, you know, all of the point of Fantasy has always been to leave all the real world politics and religion and come to a place for 3 days to enjoy nerddom. That's what it's been about, and that's what I want to go going forward. So the other big thing is, before I move on, is there any questions you got in regards to that? Because I do have a list.
No. I mean, I think that pretty well, you know, squares it away from me. I'll recap my interpretation of that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. And that would be, if you are doubly vaxxed, then it is your discretion as to whether or not you want to wear a mask. It is not required. Again, that is, if you are vaccinated, then you are not required to wear a mask. If you are unvaccinated, it would be highly recommended that you wear a mask, but this is all on the honor system. No one will be checking vax cards. Is that the way I understand it?
That is 100% correct, sir.
Okay. All right. Then I'm clear.
All right. So the other big thing that helps us this year is, we were dealing with a lot of capacity limits. We started with 30%, then we went up to 50%. And even though my rooms were big enough, we still had to adhere to social distancing. So thanks, luckily, to the restrictions in place, this is what matters more to me. Masks, while annoying, don't affect people's overall enjoyment of the con. when it comes to being able to see the panelists and things they want to see. So our capacity limits are now gone. It is amazing. I'm happy about this. So our main programming itself has gone from the ability to seat 90 people to seat 180 people. That alone is a double. All my rooms have doubled. And a big thing that was part of the last thing was you had to set 80 people in seats. And then that was it. Now you can have people stand in the back. And yeah, it's going to be slightly discouraged to have a room, standing room, we packed house. But in general, with us doubling the amount of seats that are available, it should be really good. And my own volition, I've actually decided to, we will have a main block of seats, but on either end, we will have single seats for people who are more comfortable attending the panels while adhering to the social distancing thing.
Okay. All right. Well, quick question about some of the amenities around the hotel. How is this going to impact, like, your food services, your restaurants, your bars? Maybe warm enough, somebody decides they want to go for a swim in a pool. I believe there's a pool at the DoubleTree, is there not? How is all of that going to be handled, or is that business as usual?
Sadly, that we once again we are struck by the too little, too late bug on that one.
Gotcha.
The hotel itself will have a to-go menu at the bar.
Okay.
And they will also have. Oh, excuse me, a bar menu, like a pizza, things like that, really easy things to cook at the bar. And they will have a breakfast to-go menu.
Okay.
However, to offset that, at the back of everyone's program, right behind this really nice CKP page, is a strip map. And for anyone who's not used to that, a strip map is a simplified map the military uses to show things in relation to whatever we're looking at. So our strip map has the DoubleTree by Hilton where Fantasy is at, and a list of all the closest restaurants. So that if you do want to go out, and I did talk to the hotel today, you can order DoorDash and all that. You can eat anywhere in the hotel with anything that you order besides the actual bar area.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, that's for paying patrons, if you get my verbiage on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, well, a little pro tip then for some of our listeners. There's not a bad little sports bar right there, pretty much within walking distance of the hotel, called Rookies. I used to live in an apartment right around the corner from that because my office isn't far from there.
Yeah, that's right off of Central Park Drive, right?
Yeah, right there. I mean, it's just on the other side of what used to be Hotel Indigo, which I think is something else now.
Yeah. Did you have a quick fact? Did you know if we ever sell out of rooms that Hotel Indigo or whatever it is will be our overflow hotel?
I did not, but that's awesome because they're right there side by side. So it's you can walk back and forth to the two hotels, which is sweet.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I mean, that pretty well squares away, you know, the big questions that I had with regard to all of this stuff. So thanks for taking a minute to answer that. Let's get back to the fun stuff, man. Fantasy, okay? Fantasy, science fiction. This con prides itself on splitting it right down the middle. Last year, or 2 years ago now, it was science fiction. It was 4-H-U front and center because this is the official 4-H-U con. This year, we're going to skew more towards the fantasy end of the spectrum. So talk to us a little bit about what listeners can expect from that, whether it's in programming or with guests.
Well, a big thing about our guest is we've our big guest of honor is the international lord of hate himself, Larry Correa, and I just love to say that, right?
It's such a I can't cool. wait to see the open-minded author panel. Thankfully, yeah. I have nothing booked at that hour, and I will go sit in the back and listen to that and snicker.
DVA Butler, who writes the Witchy series, he seems like from what my staff is telling me, he seems like an awesome guy. And he is just seemed to be a fun thing to deal with. But yeah, you're right. How Fantasy does it is 1 year we focus more on science fiction, and the following year we'll focus more on fantasy, and we flip-flop. And we do that because we're a smaller venue. I mean, you were at the first Fantasy in 2019. Our hotel is called the Mansion on the Hill, and it's not a very big hotel, but it has a lot of charm to it. So we do that. And I've been working with Yvonne, and as you know, Yvonne's very excited about this, to get the best out of it. And we were kind of mean in programming this year because we've set things against each other, and there's just so much programming that I couldn't. There's some that I can name off the top, but it's all really solid programming. So the big one, you know, like Larry Correa, his own self is, you know, like you said, he's going to MHI what comes next. Dating games with books, Dave Butler's going to be at that. That's always fun. There's a lot of, you know, the Salvage universe. That's more fantasy, but there's a lot of New Mythology Press, which is the big CKP thing that's coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do some things on that. World building successfully, that should be pretty neat. That's with John Ballsbourne and Mark Wandry. I think that's going to revolve around not only their Worlds of Celts, but bringing life to their new RPG things.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of massive list of things that should be with Mystics and Magic. But yeah, it's going to be really good. I've put my utmost trust in Yvonne, and she, as a panel goer, knows what people like and don't like, mostly. So she said to me that when she started this, she didn't want to have a rehash of other conventions. She wanted to make things new and exciting, and to kind of shake some of the authors and panelists out of their comfort zones. You know, because it seems that she was saying that a lot of these panelists, because I let her, that's her job, that I let her do what she wants to do. If I didn't trust her, I wouldn't have added her to staff. She said a lot of these authors get very set in their mindset of what they do, and they do it well, and she wants to kind of shake them up, and I think that's going to be neat, personally.
Oh, absolutely. Well, speaking of, that actually dovetails nicely into the next question I had for you, which was, talk to me about some of the guests who are going to be there this year. Obviously, you mentioned Larry Correa. I'm really excited to catch up with him. Chris Kennedy is going to be there. Mark Wandry is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Both of my co-hosts, Rob Howe, Kevin Steverson, are going to be there. Who else are some of the friendly faces that people can expect to see in the crowd in the way of authorly-like folks?
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and obviously you've kind of touched on our lifetime guest. Our lifetime guest would be David Weber and Sharon Rice Weber,
mm-hmm.
Chris Kennedy and Sheila Kennedy, Mark and Joy Wandry. They're our lifetime guests because they helped form Fantasy what it is. But when we get to more of the fantasy type things, we've got John Osborne, who's a great guy. He's got a lot of fantasy stuff. Kevin Eikenberry and Terry Margaret. TC McCarthy, Jason Cordova's got some stuff going on. Mel Todd will be there. Doug Burby, Steven Simmons, Christopher Woods. I think you know that guy.
I do know him. Yeah.
Mona Lisa Foster, and this last guy. I think you have a pretty close relationship with this guy. He likes cowboy hats. I think his name's Malone. I don't know if he's going to make it or
that
not.
That guy. Yeah, the felt hat is going to get traded in for a straw hat or a trucker cap this week because it's supposed to be like 91 on Saturday.
Oh, I looked at the weather this weekend. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is.
I'm really sad they will not have the pool open, but that's just, I guess they were kind of waffling on it. I think they're going to make it a little bit sooner, but it's not going to affect us.
Well, I mean, you nailed it earlier. All of this came down late on Friday. So everybody's scrambling and trying to wrap their head around it. Because, listen, 2 weeks ago, nobody thought this was coming in most of the country. I mean, you did, obviously, if you were in Florida or in Texas. But for those of us in North Carolina and states like this, we didn't think. This was a complete about face. And so everybody, particularly in the business world, was left scrambling to figure it out. But, you know, let's get back to some of the other stuff that we've got going on in the way of panels. I really appreciate the fact that, you know, that Yvonne had that mindset when she started to craft the programming lineup for this event, that she wanted to do, you know, some new things. So I do know there are some returning favorites. One in particular that I'm really jazzed about, and I actually get to moderate it, is the Soundwaves panel. And we talk about writers and music and how music impacts what we do. And we did that one in 2019, had a great turnout for it, and we had a hoot. I mean, from the panelists to the audience, everybody was involved, and it was just a great panel. So I know that one is returning, but I know there are a few other kind of crowd favorites that are coming back, but lots of new panels. So if you could just rattle off a few of the oldie favorites, and then what fans can expect that maybe wasn't there in 2019.
Well, I mean, of course, one of the favorites, I think, a lot of the old ones is the Care and Feeding the Authors, and that's how wives deal with, you know, the authors and things like that. The Bane Road Show is kind of a staple that'll be there, and the year ahead with Chris Kennedy. You're scheduled for what, 1 o'clock on Saturday in Rose, it seems, mm-hmm. which is a good slot.
Yep.
We don't have, I mean, besides the staples would be, you know, CKP, Airhead, things like that. I think a lot of people, I don't know, for some odd reason, really look forward to the dating game. I can't figure out why. it's weird. It's just a silly little game. There's no reason to be, there's no like special redheaded guest that shows up.
Right.
You know, I don't know why they were so excited about that.
I think it's the fact that you schedule it late at night on a Friday when everybody's had a chance to enjoy happy hour and everything is hysterical at that point. But that is always a fun one.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not, when I talked with Yvonne, I didn't want to, I kind of saw one of our biggest complaints, and I as someone who lives in the business and wants to be a successful convention, I took feedback, and one of the biggest things was the programming for 2019 was a little lackluster, and I didn't want that to repeat. So we scrapped a lot of our programming. We built it from the ground up, and that was mostly Yvonne, but me and Mary helped her do that, and we helped her place things where we place things, because by the end of the day, it's my fault if anything goes wrong. But it's there's a lot of new things, and I think that's good. I think every year you there's some staples you should keep, you know. And of course, I don't know. There's this big thing on Saturday night. What's that called? Oh, it's the dining out with the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
That is always a hoot. Everyone seems to love it. I think this year it's going to be a lot better because we're going to be in a bigger space. And going forward, we will be in a larger space because I did not anticipate how many people would go and how packed that would be.
Right. Awesome. All righty, man. Well, that was pretty much the last kind of real question that I had for you. That actually is going to take me down to one of my favorite segments that we do here on the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast, and that is called the 2-Minute Drill.
The 2-Minute Drill.
All right, the 2-Minute Drill, as you folks know, is where we basically do a little rapid fire of questions for our guests. It's all in good-hearted fun. It's very quick. You got two choices to answer with. So, Joel Lyons, are you ready?
I'm ready as I'm ever will be.
All right, question number one. Most, and we just touched on this, most anticipated after-hours event at Fantasy, the dating game or Fantasy karaoke?
Oh, I would say the dating game for some odd reason. No, they're now down. To be fair, there are some really good people who can sing in karaoke, but I think for a hoot, the dating game might win.
Fair enough. All right, fair enough. All right, next question. Most likely winner of a Fantasy beard competition, Mark Wandry, or if he was attending, Tim C. Taylor?
I'm going to have to go with my boy Mark Wandry. He's been working on this hobo wizard beard for a long time.
He has. That is a beard to be proud of right there. I will not argue with that one. Although Tim and Rob used this adjective to describe him on the show a while back. Has a rather stately-looking beard. So yes. props to him for that. All right, question number three. This is a would-you-rather question. Would you rather manage a convention during a pandemic or get punched in the nards by Mike Tyson?
It's not really a fair question. Of course, I'm always going to manage a convention during a pandemic. It depends how much money's involved with nard punching.
Fair answer. All right, next question. Better Fantasy beverage of choice on Saturday morning, black coffee or a Bloody Mary?
Saturday morning.
You just tied one on Friday.
So
are you going for the coffee or the hair of the dog?
I think you're going to go... That's a fair question. I'm going to say black coffee on Saturday.
Okay.
Because you got to be awake for the convention.
Okay.
Because that's the big day. But on Sunday morning, I'm going to say hair of the dog.
Fair enough, sir. Well played. All right, next question. Most likely to be named fantasized classiest guest. Chris Kennedy or Dave Weber?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard one. I classiest guest. That's not fair.
We can call that one a push if you want, man. I backed you into a corner on that one.
No, I would say I would say classiest would be would be David Weber. He's been in the con circuit for so long. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Now Chris is an awesome guy, personal friend, but there's just something of Dave, and you've met David. Just has this gravitas to him that he's I have been around.
Yep. Well, and he's just a cool dude to hang around with. You know, yeah. I mean, he's just such. He's the gentle giant. You know,
yeah.
He's a very, very classy, elegant dude that's just always a pleasure. And I mean, author to author, a total pro to do panels with. Great guy.
Yeah, and,
but I mean, jokes aside and all of that aside, classiest guest. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with either one of those guys.
Y'all know that tit for tat, man. They're right on point.
Yep.
They're one of the reasons they're all my lifetime, you know, guest section.
Fair enough. All right, next question. I'm seeing a theme here to my question writer. Better fantasy hangover remedy, Chick-fil-A breakfast or a Carolina barbecue sandwich from Smithfield's?
Oh, that's not really fair. You can only get a Chick-fil-A breakfast on a Saturday.
true.
I would say I would say the barbecue, because you want to go. You got to think, I was a chef for 15 years. Yeah, probably the barbecue. You want something a little bit greasy, that bread to soak it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a safer bet.
Yep. All right. Hey, man, as a deep home Southerner, I got no argument with that. But now, chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A. I mean, let's just face it, that's never a bad way to go.
Oh, that man, those little Hawaiian buns. Like, I don't know.
All right. Final question in 2 minute drill. Dosa Keast once had the most interesting man in the world, but who would be named Fantasy's most interesting person in the world? Would that be Johnny Mignon or Yvonne the Raging Cajun Jacobs?
That's Yvonne. Johnny was able to hold on to his title for a while, but Yvonne is just an entity unto herself.
She is indeed.
I love her to death, but give her props. She understands the chain of command, and I appreciate that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, she was just down at our house a couple of weekends ago because her old man was out of town. She was climbing the walls, and so she's good friends with my wife. And she said, I'm coming to your house. I'm going fishing off your dock. And so she was here the next morning, and we all hung out and spent the day together and went and got some food and great times.
Yeah, she is a road traveler. Did you know she used to drive big old passenger vans?
Seems like, yeah, she mentioned that to me somewhere along the way. But, yeah, that does not surprise me. So she is a person of many trades. But, all right, that's going to do it for this edition of the 2 Minute Drill. Thank you again to Joel Lyons for coming on board the show. That is also going to start to round down this interview. One more time, Joel, if people want information about the con, where can they find it, and how long are tickets still on sale for?
Well, sadly, the biggest thing, and that is a sad note, is even with the restrictions being lifted, all the tickets actually stopped getting sold on April 30th, and that was in preparation for dealing with the convention during the pandemic. We had various numbers in place, and once again, that curveball came out of nowhere, and it's hit us, and everything's gone to the printer at this point. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I've sent a amount of programs and all that jazz. So why I would love to add more passes, it's just not going to happen. It's just not feasible, sadly.
Gotcha. You know, well, folks, what I will tell you on that front is I know the guys and I plan to do some recording on site. So stay tuned to this show. We're going to get you some content from the con. So for those who couldn't be there, you'll at least get to kind of live it vicariously.
Now,
there are also other people, I'm sure, who are going to be on social media. So make sure you keep an eye on the Fantasy accounts and hashtags so you can stay plugged into the conversation.
Now, to be fair, though, this is between you and me and the wall. You only need a pass to go to the actual programming. The dealer's room itself is open to the public, and so is the bar, and so are the many areas of the hotel.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. So, now, legit question, does that go under the podcast, or is that between you, me, and the wall, with the listeners putting an ear to the wall?
No, that's fine. That can go out.
all right.
Yeah. And if the biggest, of course, we have our website, www.fantasy.rocks. But for me, I interact mostly through the Facebook page because that's the quickest way for me to get out information, because I drive big truck for a living. So I something will spark in my brain and I'll take a break and then I'll put it out. But yeah, that would definitely be the Facebook page itself is probably the best way to get information.
All right, good deal. Well, folks, that is where you can find it all online. Fantasy.rocks is the website. Look for the Fantasy event page on Facebook, and be sure to keep an eye on that for updates and content through the weekend. Again, the guys and I will be broadcasting on site from the con, so keep an ear out for us, and pretty sure all are going to have a great time. For those who are not going to be able to be there this year, you best go ahead and book down for 2022, baby, because it's going to be a party. Joel Lyons. Oh, yeah.
So speaking of 2022,
yeah,
they go on sale 1400 on Sunday the 23rd.
Oh, there you go. Get on it, folks. Get on it.
Them dining out tickets go fast.
Yes, they do, sir. Yes, they do. All righty, man. Well, Joel Lyons, thanks for coming on the program and kind of clearing some of this up for our listeners. So folks are informed when they show up on Friday, as we all want them to be, and looking forward to a great event. So thanks to you and your staff for doing what you do, my man.
No problem, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime. All right, so that's going to bring us to the halftime edition of this particular episode of the program. Thanks again, though, to Joel Lyons for coming on board, talking up what's happening this weekend at Fantasy. We certainly hope you guys found that informative. I know there's been a lot of stuff happening on the whole event front across the country. So hopefully that was able to answer all of your questions. We know there's a lot of them floating around out there. But halftime, as you know by now, is where we talk about our presenting sponsor. That would, of course, be the fine folks over at Chris Kennedy Publishing. Chris Kennedy Publishing, they are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. A lot of stuff going on this week, man. Rob, I'll let you kind of lead off. Looks like we've got another new release from Chimera Company series this week from Tim C. Taylor. So talk to me about that. What's up?
Yeah, this is the fourth book in the Chimera Company series that we've now seen him really push this company into some really crazy things. It's amazing how quickly he's punching these out. But
oh, yeah.
In this case, Smuggler's Queen, Vetch's captor, wants him to escape because she enjoys the chase. Hostage, decoration, amusement. Vetch Aronson has never been any of these things before, but he has to adapt fast if he's to survive captivity at the exotic court of sector crime boss Nailugari. His deadliest threat comes from the beautiful alien assassin who wants to sink her claws into him. If Vetch runs, it won't be the assassin who comes for him. Through war zones, terraforming worlds, and intergalactic invasions, Nailugari will never abandon her pursuit. Honor demands it because of who she is. She is the Smuggler Queen.
Nice. I really am hearing fantastic things about this series. Kevin, talk to me about some reviews, man. What are folks saying about this particular book?
Well, this one is from TJ. A whopping tale from master storyteller Tim Taylor, who always stays a couple of steps ahead of us all. Smuggler Queen continues the crazy adventures of Chimera Company as they move through adventure after exciting adventure. Lots of screaming firepower. You'll love this book. And from Chris L., another great read in the Chimera Company universe. On a mission to rescue the princess, the gang reunites and sets off to see who the true enemy is. From catgirl assassins to a loyal goat, this story brings it all together and sets up even more adventures. Can't wait for the next one. And then from Steve, Smuggler Queen brings the story of Chimera Company to another level. The characters in Smuggler Queen have evolved from the beginning of the series and can only get better as it goes forward. Fun, engaging, and enough action for any sci-fi fan to enjoy.
Nice. Can't go wrong with that combination. Well, beyond Smuggler Queen, lots of other stuff happening in CKP world. As you would expect, they stay pretty busy over there. Again, with Fantasy coming up this weekend, we've actually got a double presale because Fantasy kind of hits on fantasy and science fiction. The powers that be over CKP saw fit to release one of each this week. So presales, just for those who haven't caught on to that yet, basically CKP will take one of their new releases and put it up for sale directly from the publisher for a week before it goes on sale to the world via Amazon. Just a little food for thought on this. If you're not subscribed to the Chris Kennedy Publishing email list newsletter, yeah, might want to go do that. Lots of juicy info in that, and it comes out every Monday. ChrisKennedyPublishing.com, click on newsletter, and it'll get you on your way. As far as the pre-sales for this week from the fantasy world, we have Responsibility of the Crown by G. Scott Huggins. Now, I had not heard of him. Apparently, he's one of the newer authors on the roster. But a lot of good talk around him and a lot of good talk around this book. Larry Correa is actually blurbing it and says, this guy's one of the best writers we have, you know, one of the best new writing talents that we have out today. Quote, go buy his stuff. So that's high praise coming from a guy like Correa. On the sci-fi...
Can I, Can I interject here?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this particular one. You talk about Huggins and what he's done in the past. Bain Books does two different short story contests, and Scott Huggins is the only one who has ever won both of them.
Wow.
He is an amazingly talented writer, and he's just getting started. This is a chance to be on the ground floor. This is something I'm really proud to be involved in myself, and you guys are going to love it and the ones that are coming after.
Awesome. So, Responsibility of the Crown. It is out this week. If you go to chriskennedypublishing.com, you can buy it there for any platform, whether it is a Kindle, whether it is a Nook, whether it is a Kobo, whatever you like. They'll get you squared away with that. And then this Friday for Fantasy, it will go live to the world via Amazon and all the usual suspects. On the science fiction end of things, a little book that I know well, it's called The Street Survivors. It is the collaboration that you've heard me talking extensively about this show. That is the collaboration that I did with Chris Kennedy. It is the direct sequel to my book, Freebird Rising, from 2019, but it is also the latest book in the Guild Wars. So lots and lots of stuff happening in this book, y'all. If you were a fan of Freebird, you're going to love this. If you've just been keeping an eye on what's happening on the Guild Wars, there's some promises and some things that happen here that you're definitely going to want to catch up on. So again, The Street Survivors from myself and Chris Kennedy, that is available now at chriskennedypublishing.com and then out to the world on Amazon as of this Friday to help kick off Fantasy Weekend. Other stuff happening around the world of CKP, we've got an audio pre-order for They Call Me Princess by J.P. Chandler. That is set in the Fallen World, and it will drop on audio on June the 8th, but you can go ahead and pre-order that now. Fallen World is always goodness, y'all. So go get on that. That's always good stuff. Deal of the Week is the book that actually started it all for The Man and the Press. That would be Red Tide from Chris Kennedy. So if you ever wanted to know what would happen if China invaded Seattle, because, you know, that's not a whole lot of a stretch, depending on who you talk to these days. That is chronicled in his book, in fiction, of course. And Chris tells that story as only Chris Kennedy can. So Red Tide, you can get it for less than a buck this week. Such a deal, you can never go wrong. And then finally, and we kind of teased this on our last show, new thing happening for CKP Patreon supporters. If you are one of those, then you've probably noticed there's some new stuff popping up on that site right now. It's a new thing called CKP Confidential. And basically what it is it's going to be a new audio series produced by myself and my company, Shark Flight Media, where we are going to bring you exclusive reads from new releases from the authors themselves. So a lot of times you're going to get a sneak peek of stuff that isn't even out yet, read by the authors themselves. From books coming out on Chris Kennedy Publishing. We've done two so far. We did an excerpt from Department 9 with Tim C. Taylor, which was the last Chimera Company book that came out before the one we just talked about. And then Chris recorded an excerpt from The Street Survivors. So if you want to demo Street Survivors, kind of dip your toe in the water, if you're a Patreon subscriber with CKP, you got to hear the man himself read it. We'll drop links to the show notes for all of these things, so just check your phone. You'll be able to find your way around. And as always, you can always go to chriskennedypublishing.com and find everything you need to know. Why? Because they're Chris Kennedy Publishing. Message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. I'm getting better at that, fellas. Like, I don't feel like I stumbled up. That was almost halfway professional.
That was good.
All right.
Ian, you have always been halfway professional.
You know what? That's a very astute observation, Rob Howe. I commend you. I commend you, sir, and I have no witty retort for that.
Well, so, I will point out that I'm somewhere around 2% professional, so let's be honest here.
Hey, when I agreed to do this with you guys, nobody said anything about being professional.
Okay, so
I don't know what's going on.
So says the guy with the movie deal, man. Get that madness out of here.
I did record Nashville too, I guess.
You did? Yeah, when you can go buy your CD at Walmart with your name on it, you've done something professional in your life. So, well done, sir.
I did have a song cut, and that was a platinum level producer too. You know, it's the same person that produced Dirt Road Anthem for Brandy Gilbert.
All right. So jumping back to Fantasy, we heard Joel's take on what a lot of fans can expect, whether it's popular panels that everybody's looking forward to this upcoming weekend, the mass and social distancing stuff. Obviously, we had a lot of questions about that, after the CDC and the governor's announcement on Friday that they were going to start to lift a lot of that stuff. So thanks again to him for coming on. But yeah, let's drill down to what we do here, and that's the three of us. I'm scheduled for three panels coming up this weekend, spread across Friday and Saturday. Kevin and Rob, I know you've got panels as well. So Rob, you're a busy guy because not only are you representing yourself in your books, but you're also basically the front man, to use a music term, for New Mythology Press. So I'm going to go ahead and give you lead on this, man. Talk to me about what your schedule looks like and where you're going to be and where people can find you this weekend.
I'm going to be hopping, and before I even get into this, I want to thank the crew at Fantasy for all the work they've put into this, and especially Yvonne Jacobs, who stepped in sort of at the last moment to do all the scheduling stuff.
Yep.
First time doing it, and frankly, she's done a pretty good job, even though it's been something that's completely outside of her wheelhouse. So yep. I really appreciate all of her work.
Yeah, and then you're going to throw in a pandemic on top of all of that. So the entire Fantasy staff, my hat is off to every single one of them. While we're giving shout-outs, I also want to give a shout-out to Scott Kunzelman, who stepped up and handled all of the communication stuff to keep us all as panelists in the know for what we were enlisted to do, where we were going to be needed. He's done a magnificent job of keeping everyone informed on the ones and twos of what they needed to know for the weekend. So just a well-oiled machine all the way around, that they are very nimble on their feet, and they've gotten the job done well.
Totally agree. So my weekend starts fairly early. The first panel of the weekend, or the first block of the weekend, is Friday at noon. And I'll have a panel where I'll discuss pantsing. And if we've talked about this on the show before, but pantsing is where you write by the seat of your pants, and generally speaking, let the characters tell you what's going to happen. And I'll be describing that.
Not where you snatch someone's shorts around their knees while they're not paying attention. That would be awkward at a con.
No, no.
Although rumor has it has happened a time or two at Dragon Con. So who's to say?
Yes, it has happened. Then at 3, I've got a book reading. At 4 on Friday, I get to do a panel with Tony Weisskopf and Christopher Woods on Herding Kittens, which is about the challenges of creating an anthology and getting everything to go smoothly. Then Friday at 7 is a huge one that I'm really honored to be a part of. This is the Songs of Valor anthology. Kevin will be there with me. Larry Correa will be there. Dave Butler will be there. David Weber will be there. Pretty much if you're an author from the Songs of Valor anthology, which included some of the greatest authors there are out there, they'll be there, and we'll talk about the stories that are in there and what inspired them and so on and so forth. And then Friday after that, there is the Chris Kennedy Publishing New Mythology Press party in the courtyard. And we are going to be celebrating another, well, now 2 years of CKP and New Mythology growing and becoming something pretty, we feel is pretty awesome. But we've got so much more coming, and we're really excited about what's happening in the future. And at Saturday at noon, I'm going to have a panel very specifically where I'm talking about all the things that are coming in the next 6 months to a year for New Mythology Press. There's a ton of stuff, and I was doing the presentation, and I keep going, wow, we've got so much going. I'm going to be working my little tail off, and I'm excited to do so. Then Saturday at 1 p.m., and I suspect you may hear this a time or two in the rest of this show, we're going to talk about podcasting called in a panel about entitled Radio Waves. This one's hosted by some guy named Ian J. Malone, and I'm excited to meet this guy.
Rumor has it he's half a professional.
At Saturday at 4, then there's Mystics and Magic, which is a discussion of a variety of things in fantasy settings. And then finally, on Sunday at 9 a.m., there's a coffee clutch. If you're up at 9 a.m. and just want to hang out with some of the writers of New Mythology Press, just come on down and it's just sit around, hang out, and chat. Now, you'll see me a couple of other times on Saturday. Chris Kennedy Publishing has his panel. I believe it's at 4 p.m. where he's going to do the same thing I'm doing at noon, except his is going to focus, of course, on the Four Horsemen universe, the Salvage Title universe, the Fallen World universe, the Hit World, and all the other big things that he's got going on through Chris Kennedy Publishing as a whole. And then also, I believe at 3 p.m., I'll be jumping in with Dave Butler briefly. We've got a giveaway, and we'll be pulling some names out of the hat for those who are part of the giveaway. Get to give some books to some people at the con, as well as some people who signed up on the interwebs. So that'll be fun to pop in and join him there. At some point, I expect to sleep. It may very well be Monday.
Nice. Well, just so everybody knows, pretty much all of our panel schedules are up on our respective websites. I will, however, try and put something up on the Shark Flight Media accounts on Facebook and Twitter to make that easy peasy for you guys to go find. If you want to know where one or all of us are going to be at any moment, we'll kind of give you that one-stop shop option. But definitely make sure you follow all three of us on social media to keep tabs on where we're going to be. So, Kevin, what say you, man? What's your weekend look like?
Friday evening is the first thing I've got going. So, I'll be hanging out at my table, you know, all during the day. So if anybody wants to come by and say hi or whatever in between stuff, but Friday evening at 5 o'clock, we actually have the Salvage Universe panel. And so I'll be there. And of course, Chris Candy will be there. And then those that have written novels and some of the short stories, will be at the panel. And some may pop in and out. You know, Ian has a story and going to have more in the Salvage Universe. So he may pop in and out and, we'll talk about some stuff that's from the past and stuff that's coming up. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll be there with Rob for the Songs of Valor anthology. So that's a 2-hour panel. I'll be there for part of that. And then the next thing I have Saturday is with you guys is the Radio Waves at 1 p.m. And then at 3 p.m., there's a panel titled We Don't Salute Anymore. And I'm retired military. And I am more than 100% sure that everybody that's on that panel will be ex-military, whether they've retired or whether they just did a tour. And that's what that'll be. And I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about, you know, how we use our actual experiences in our writing and everything from battle scenes to, you know, how NCOs talk to soldiers, to privates, and how they deal with officers and vice versa and all that kind of stuff.
That'll be a cool panel to take in, no doubt.
That'll be that panel. And then Sunday, I got a book reading at noon, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to read from. It may be something for the new Salvage book that I'm writing with Casey Azell titled Salvage Mother. So that'll be some new stuff coming. So.
Very nice. Well, my weekend is, was that it? Kevin, I don't want to cut you off.
Well, the other thing is, and everybody doesn't have tickets for this because they sold out very quickly, but for the military ball that night, the Four Horsemen military ball.
Yeah, the dining out.
So. Right. I will be Mr. Vice at that mall, so be involved a lot in the whole program and everything goes along with that.
Nice. Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be there at the military ball too, and I'll be showing off the newly designed Queen Elizabeth's Own Forester's Dress uniform.
Nice. See,
nice.
That's
nice.
I deliberately wrote my protagonist as a guy who lives in jeans and t-shirts. So that I, too, at cons, could cosplay as a dude who lives in jeans and t-shirts. Because I am a dude who lives in jeans and t-shirts. So I will actually rock a Swamp Eagle security shirt that's got the patch and all that on it. But, yeah, that's about as high roller as I get. So my schedule for the weekend, I will be on the Soundwaves panel on Friday. And that is going on, let's see, what is that, Friday at 1 p.m. in the Rose Room. Actually really excited about that. We did this this panel 2 years ago at Fantasy One, and basically it's a bunch of writers get together, and we talk about how music informs what we do. The stuff we listen to when we write, the stuff we grew up with listening to that inspired us to write the stuff that we do. So, I mean, if you're a fan of music, whether you like sci-fi or not, that's going to be a fun one, and we've got a nice lineup for that. Jump Shot is a discussion about sports and genre. So we'll be talking all about how sports has been used in genre, whether it's in books or whether it's in television and film. People who did it well, people who really screwed the pooch. You know, for sports fans, that's always a fun one to go take in. That's going to be happening at Friday at 2 p.m., also in the Rose Room. So I'm not going to be going far on that one. And then Saturday, as previously mentioned, I will be moderating the Radio Waves panel. That will be going on at 1 p.m. In the Rose Room. And that will be a discussion of just the rise of podcasting and how authors are using that to connect with readers and fans and just give you guys more bang for your buck. So lots of other stuff obviously happening through the course of the weekend that I'm really excited about. The dining out, which we just talked about, I'll definitely be there for that. In jeans, but I'll be there. Karaoke. 2 years ago when they freaking did karaoke on a Saturday night, y'all, it got real. Like, I kid you not, my 5'2" wife was singing AC/DC's Big Balls up on the stage at 11 o'clock at night. It was the funniest freaking thing ever.
It was wonderful.
We had a blast at karaoke. So as far as I know, that is coming back. You'll find me in the crowd for that one. The dating game thing Friday night, I will probably pop in and see that just for the spectacle that that is, if for no other reason than the group of clowns that they've got up on the stage for that. Between Terry Maggart and Eikenberry and that crew, like that's gonna be entertainment gold. So that's happening Friday night. Let's see here, and then what else do I have?
Terry Maggart is a clown car of enthusiasm and fascinating stuff all to himself.
That is a true story, dude. That guy's a fun follow on Twitter too. Just putting that out there. I don't know what this is per se. But I do know the man himself, and I follow him on social media. The open-minded author from Larry Correa. If you know anything about Larry Correa, that has the potential to be fun and interesting. I will go listen to that and hear what that's all about. So, yeah, lots of good stuff on Fantasy, on tap for Fantasy this weekend. I'm just really excited, guys, kind of bringing this little stretch to a close. I'm just excited to be going back and hanging out with fans again. I really can't. Understate that. I really can't overstate that, rather, just how much I believe that. It's been so long, and I have missed it so much, just getting to hang around the bar with other authors and people who read our stuff and listen to them talk about, you know, what they like about it. I mean, that gives us ideas for where we need to go moving forward with future stuff. I mean, it's such a fun experience from top to bottom, and I'm just glad to be back.
Me too. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see a bunch of these great people, and I suspect that my enthusiasm will outweigh my good decision making.
I was looking at the Fantasy schedule, and I noticed I missed one that I'll be on.
Yeah.
On Saturday at 4 o'clock. Keeping It in the Family. I'll be on that one with my son Nick, and then Chris Woods is there and T.W. Gray. And I think it's because more than one member of the family is an author, you know, myself and my son and Chris and his brother and his sister, right?
Yep.
And so I think that's what that's all about. So.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be a fun one. I may step in on that without a doubt. So, all righty, fellas. Well, that's going to actually bring us down to something that we had intended to do on our last episode. We teased it in our first episode together that we were going to roll out a brand new segment called On the Stump. And, you know, we had a great interview with Bob Sturm of The Athletic to run down the NFL draft last time. That ran long, and so we did not get a chance to do it. But I have to give kudos to Mr. Rob Howell, because he was the winner of our NFL draft pick contest. He picked, I think, the 4 out of the top 10 correctly, which, given all that happened in the top 10 of the draft this year, is really a pretty monumental feat. I got 2, I think. Kevin, I don't remember how many you got right on that one.
I got the Falcons right. Woo! We got the best tight end ever.
There you go.
Ever. Well, ever, ever, ever.
Well, there was...
Okay, go ahead.
There was a guy named Gonzalez who played for the Chiefs a long time who wasn't half bad.
He also played for the Falcons.
He played for the Falcons, too, and I'm still saying that. So, yep. I'm just saying.
All right.
I think it's because of the blocking ability, too, not just the fact that he's an amazing receiver.
Well, it is as awesome as all of that wonderful insight is, the point of all of this was that because he won the contest, Rob gets open floor and open mic to discuss whatever he would like on our first ever On the Stump segment. So, Rob, are you prepared, sir?
I am prepared.
All righty, sir. Let's do this thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, hear ye, hear ye.
On the Stump.
Rob, the floor is yours, sir. Have at it.
Awesome. Thanks much. You guys might have realized that I kind of like the NFL if you listened to the last couple of podcasts. So I'm going to touch on something I think is important about the NFL, some changes I'd like to see. The first two changes, three changes overall, but the first two changes come from the XFL. I actually had season tickets to the St. Louis Battlehawks, and man, that was a fun product. We had a great time going and watching those games. So here's two things I'd pull from the XFL. Thing number one that I actually think should be in every league at every level, every age, and that is the kickoff rule that they had. The kickoff rule added a ton of excitement, but it limited the long distance running into each other collisions that highlight kickoffs as they normally run these days. It was designed to have the two sets of blockers and tacklers crash into each other after only about 5 yards. So basically not dissimilar to a line of scrimmage. And it worked really smoothly. So not only was it safer, it also created more lines. And the seats that we had were in the end zone. And they showed all sorts of lines of attack for the return team. It was really interesting. Safer, more exciting. The NFL should go with that. Second thing they should go with, the sky judge. The XFL had every play subject to replay, but it wasn't boring in part because the TV presentation actually kicked in the discussion between the official in the booth and the official on the field. And it also showed what the official in the booth was playing back and forth. So if it was playing foot getting down and that sort of a thing, it showed it. And you heard the officials talking about what was happening. So it turned something that is boring and it takes you to commercial in the NFL into something that's kind of interesting and fascinating to see how the rules get applied. Really worked smoothly. So I would add the sky judge so we can have every play reviewed. And I would do it implemented in the XFL transparent way that made it entertainment in its own right, not simply a drudge on the game. Now, the third thing, the NFL draft has become such a wonderful thing on TV. And it has a number of great traditions. It also has a horrific tradition that we really should change. And that tradition is the ritual booing of the Roger Goodell. And the reason this is horrific is not because Roger Goodell doesn't deserve to be booed. Dude needs to be booed. He really has done a horrible job as commissioner. That's the point. It's not good for the NFL that he remains as commissioner while the entire fan community really just wants to boo him. That's the only pleasure we get out of his presence. I have a very specific name that I want to suggest as the new commissioner. This person knows the sport. This person has worked in the sport, been the CEO of the Raiders. This person has a fabulous Twitter presence where this person is always nice to talk to, interacts with fans. This person is also on the other pregame show, and you can find her on all throughout the NFL these days. Her name is Amy Trask. This person knows what she's doing. She treats the fans well. She understands the challenges players face. She understands the business side of things. And while I don't always agree with her takes, I absolutely trust her to do what's right for the NFL, the fans, and the players. This is not something I feel any trust. I feel zero trust with Roger Goodell. So that's it. Replace the kickoff. Give us the sky judge. And give us Amy Trask instead of Roger Goodell.
All righty, the man has spoken on the stump. And that will bring us down to our final segment of the night, which is, of course, White Flag.
White Flag.
White Flag is the segment where we just kind of tell listeners what it is we've got on our radar coming up here in the next few days. Can be geek stuff, can be guy stuff, can be sports stuff, you name it. Fantasy, obviously that's going to be across the board for all of us. But lots of other stuff happening in my world. Right now, I've got Lasers and Loggers getting ready to start ramping up as soon as I'm done with Fantasy. That's going to be an event that happens down in Panama City, Florida on Tuesday, June the 29th at the Library on Beck. If you want to know more about that, log on to lasersandloggers.com, read all about it. I'm going to be there. Kevin Steverson's going to be there. Chris Kennedy's going to be there. Going to be a fun night. Really, really looking forward to that, and we're going to get more into that on this show probably in the next episode or two. After that, it's freaking racing. I got NASCAR at COTA this weekend. I'm really excited to see what that product of motorsport looks like at the Circuit of the Americas, which has obviously been made, you know, world famous by Formula One the last few years and the U.S. Grand Prix. And then after that, it is arguably the greatest day in motorsports, which is Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day Sunday. It is the double. It is the Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing, followed by the closest thing NASCAR has to an endurance race with the World 600, Coca-Cola 600, whatever you want to call it, from Charlotte Motor Speedway that night. So it is a day-long affair in our house. I've already got the menu planned out. I think I'm going to do some ribs that day and going to do those in the smoker so I can smoke some more baked beans, potato salad, coleslaw. Whole spiel, man. It's going to be glorious. So, Rob, what do you got going on the next little bit that you want to tell folks about?
Well, I've got my own Four Horsemen novel coming out in June, June 18th, a scheduled Ravening of Wolves, which is the sequel to The Feeding of Sorrows. I'm really excited about this. It's get to do some fun stuff with both the Zool and the Queen Elizabeth's Own Foresters, and I slip in a goodly amount of Kashkawa. The Kashkawa are starting to become my favorite race in the Four Horsemen universe. They're the badgers with prehensile tails, and I've had a lot of fun with them. So that's coming out on the 18th, and then later in June, I've got a con as well. I'm doing the Confinement, which is being run by Mike Williamson of Mike Williamson fame, the writer for Bane Books. And he has arranged this convention sort of opposite of where LibertyCon would have been. And this is going to be a joint convention in some ways with LibertyCon. We'll be doing some panels that include some people actually at confinement and also doing it remotely. So that's going to be an exciting time. I have a lot of stuff planned down the road, but, you know, that's enough to get us started.
Nice. Kevin, what you got, mate?
Well, I'm looking forward to Fantasy, obviously, and then to the event in Panama City. But I am baseball season that's kicked in, and I'm a diehard Braves fan. And starting tonight, matter of fact, the game's going right now, but for the next 3 days, we got to play the Mets. And, you know, it's all about beat the Mets, and dirty, rotten, stinking Mets, you know, the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our rivals. So I'm really looking forward to these three games. But while I'm talking baseball, I really, really am enthralled by the pitcher for the Angels, who's tied right now in the league for home runs. Shohei Ohtani. You guys know Shohei Ohtani, right?
I heard the story.
He's like the fourth or the fifth pitcher. So when he's not on the mound, he's a designated hitter. When it's his turn to pitch, they don't have a designated hitter because he's doing it. The guy's RBIs, he's tied for 10th in the Major League Baseball.
Nice.
Pitcher. And yep. 12 home runs. He's tied for first at. You know, when I was a kid, I learned to run, throw, and hit. I didn't just learn to throw. I really like that when the pitcher's after that. So I'm not a fan with the DH, so this is why I'm really thrilled with this.
Yep. Oh, there will be plenty of time to have debates over DHs and all that set forth. I'd be remiss, by the way, if I didn't point out that my man Wade Miley threw himself a nice little no-no a couple of weekends ago. That was not a bad way to spend a Friday night. Pretty happy about that. So, alrighty, fellas. Well, with that said, that is going to bring this episode of the Dudes in Hyperspace to a close. Thanks again to Joel Lyons for coming on the program and bringing us up to speed on what attendees can expect from Fantasy this weekend. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsor. That would be Chris Kennedy Publishing. To learn more about them, their books, their series, everything they got going on, including new shows on Patreon, log on to ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. Chris Kennedy Publishing, it's message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. As for us, we appreciate those stars and reviews, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is you listen, man. If they'll let you rate and review, we would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. It helps get us up the rankings so people can find us. And finally, if you want to know more about us, just go to SharkFlight.com, click on Dudes in Hyperspace, and we're right there. Author bios, profiles, profile links, you name it. And, yeah, we're happy to do it, man. So Dudes in Hyperspace, that's who we are. We will talk to you this weekend from Fantasy, but until then, you guys have a wonderful night. See ya.